This is the second part of a three-week series on advancing the kingdom of God. Last week we said if we want the kingdom of God to advance, it's got to advance in our own lives. That there was a challenge from God's Word that you yourself are to be personally committed to your own growth in knowing Christ. Your growth in the knowledge and the grace of Jesus Christ. This morning, we're going to go beyond just simply a commitment to growing ourselves through the means of grace, but look at the subject of advancing God's kingdom must happen as we grow in relationship one to another as believers. That God's kingdom, if it's going to grow, it has to grow in the way that we interface with other Christians. As I looked at this subject, I discovered about several dozen one another passages. You're familiar with some of those one another passages, such as be devoted one to another, love one another, be humble one toward another, and so on and so forth. Try to reduce them down into about six lumps for you this morning as we unfold of these wonderful teachings that we're so familiar with in our relationship, called to grow in that relationship. I'd ask you to stand as we read from the Word of God. As we really, this is kind of a diving board text that will get into some of these teachings, but basically we'll be moving from verse to verse, but this will catch a number of them for us as to what we're all about here this morning. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Hear the Word of the Lord. Romans 12, 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is preaching or prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keeping your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. The Word of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, there's a lot in that passage, and I barely begin to touch that. Advancing the kingdom of God. How are we going to do it? Step around the room just for a moment, if you would. Make eye contact with a number of people. Okay? Make eye contact. So, a number of them you'll know. Some of them you probably won't know. If we're going to advance the kingdom, it's as you look around the room, the relationship that you have with those people we've looked at has got to grow. We've got to grow in relationship with the believers that God has put in our lives. Ernest T. Campbell wrote these words. He said, many of today's young people have little difficulty believing that God was in Christ. What they find hard to accept is that Christ is in the church. Why is it, he says, young people find it hard to accept Christ is working in the church? He doesn't tell us in this section. But he says, young people are having a hard time believing that Christ is in the church. We know that. He says they know that God was in Christ. But why don't I see Christ in the church? And some of the young people are asking why. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones profound writer and scholar. He says, "I have no hesitation in asserting that the failure of the church to have a greater impact upon the life of men and women in the world today is due entirely to the fact that her own life is not in order." Jones says, "Look at the church. Why is the church not having the impact that it could have or should have?" And we'll look at that more next week. But he points out that it has something to do with the life of the church itself. The life within the church is vital to growing and advancing God's kingdom. What can we do in this modern age to advance God's kingdom? What can we do as a church? You know, we look at this subject, this question, and we might expect something radically new. We might be looking for some radical answer. Maybe something that, you know, it's a changing times. It's a changing world, and these computers are the tip of the iceberg. It's a new modern computer age, and everything is just advancing, and technology is going so fast that we might look to the church and expect we too have to advance into something else that can really get a hold of, that will make a difference in the world. But this morning, you're going to hear the same old stuff that you've always heard. The same steadfast, reliable answers that God has always told us. If God's kingdom is going to advance, then we've got to advance one another through some very practical ways. I'll draw several number of them to your attention. First of all, we've got to advance in this area we call love. Scripture says, love one another. Verse 9 says there, love must be sincere. Love one another. We've got to advance more and more in our relationships in this area. Jesus said elsewhere, "By this all men will know you're my disciples," as we advance in this. Romans 13:8 says, "Let no debt remain outstanding except," what? "Except the continuing debt to love one another." 1 Peter 1, "Love one another deeply from the heart. As you look around the room, can you say about the people around you, "I love these people, that person, deeply from my heart"? I came across an interesting email the other day. Someone had sent it, and they were having a nice joke or laugh because they had this French book they found, and in the cover someone had conjugated the verb to like. And they put it this down. They put this down, like. Conjugation. "I don't like me. I don't like you. I don't like us. I don't like them. Like." Well, some days we wake up and we feel that way, you know. I don't like me. I don't like you. I look at us and I don't like us. And those people over there, well, they're worse. I don't like them either. Well, when it comes to love, we can't conjugate it that way. Never. You might not like yourself. You might not like others. You might not like them or us. But you can't conjugate love that way. You have to conjugate it this way. I love me because God loves me. I love you. And the you being, in this context, you, the fellow believer in this church. I love you. And I love us, the whole church, from the weakest to the strongest. And I love them, those other believers out there with those other denominational names or whatever labels they have. We've got to love one another if we're going to advance the kingdom. Another way of putting it in another one another passage is Romans 12:10. Be devoted one to another. That means be kindly affectionate toward. Treat each other fondly in our relationships. Ephesians 4:2 adds another aspect to this loving one another call. It says, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Love expresses itself in patience as we relate to each other. I think the state of Maryland is beginning to learn this, the importance of having patients out on the highways. I think it was in 1998 they started this thing where they give you not only your permit to get your license, but they give you a little thing. It says, rookie driver. It's magnetic, and you put it on the back of your car. Now, why do they do that? Because they know that some of us have been driving a while. And we don't like to be going in a 40-mile zone with someone going 15 miles an hour in front of us. That does not go over well with someone who's been driving for a while. And so the state's thinking, you know, if we just let the people behind know that this is a rookie, he's just starting out, you know, maybe the horns won't blow so much. Maybe he won't be passing on the right and left, and so on and so forth. You see, there's a lot of rookie Christian drivers in the church, too. People who are just starting out, and they don't quite have it right. They're still learning. They're legal. And they're on their way. But there's a lot of rookies. And I'm sure that even some of us who may feel more mature, there's a lot of rookiness within us in certain areas. So we need to be patient with one another. And then, not only patient, but whenever we have a fender bender, we have a little bump with each other. Well, the other aspect of love has got to be forgiving one another. He says in Ephesians 4:32, be kind, compassionate to one another. And then he adds this other, forgiving one another. One woman has profoundly written, she said this, there is nothing in this lost world that bears the marks of Christ so clearly as forgiveness. There's nothing that bears the marks of Christ as clearly as forgiveness. If you look around the people in this room and you can't say that I've forgiven every person in this room, you're not bearing the marks of Christ. And you need to repent, to turn and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I know I don't feel right. I don't like this person or whatever, but I'm sorry. And I'm going to turn away and I say, I forgive. Now you're going to have to change my feelings. But we're called to love. And then we've got to grow in relationship to one another, which includes being devoted, being patient, being forgiving one another. Also, in advancing the kingdom of God, we've got to learn to, secondly, warmly welcome one another. Greet one another warmly. Romans 16:6 puts it literally this way. Greet one another with a holy kiss. 1 Peter 5:14, greet one another with a kiss of love. The Living Bible culturally translates it, greet one another with a hearty handshake. Another translation would be, greet one another with a warm welcome. When you came into church this morning, did you feel like someone greeted you with a warm welcome? We're going to advance the kingdom, we need to do that. Sometimes it's hard for us because we can't remember people's names. And I realize church is mostly for worshiping here. It's not just primary for fellowshipping. We have a small narthex area, so we can't get a lot of this welcoming and so forth. But, you know, when you go into an activity or a room where other believers are, do you, like, feel welcome? And do you welcome those who are coming into the room? Particularly in a church as small as we are. You know, some of us, I think, have difficulty, and we need to say to ourselves, I'm going to make a point to welcome him or her. It's easy to go right over to your own little thing and get your niche going because you know one or two or three people and you just immediately start talking, you get into a good little thing. It's nice. But there may be some other people who come in who don't have a good little thing. You know what I mean? They're still a little bit off, and they need to know that, hey, we're welcome. You're welcome here. And that means sometimes learning your name. I'd say the basic thing to creating a church which has a warm welcome for you growing in your relationship with anybody in this room, if you can't get past their name, you're not going to get very far in your relationship. You've got to get their name. Write it down. I make it a point to try to remember every person's name in the congregation, including the little kids. And sometimes I'm going up 10, 15 times until I finally say, now let me see if I got it. Or I'll say, I'm sorry, I know it's like 23 times since I've asked you this. Would you tell me your name again? They don't care. It's Katie, and I was working on a girl this morning. I probably asked her 10 times her name. Sometimes I'll jot it down out there. Because to me it's important, because that little girl is important. And every individual is important in the body of Christ. And obviously you can't sustain a relationship with everybody. I'm not saying that. But if we're going to begin to grow in any relationship at all, beginning one is name. And then beyond that, of course, it's other things. A welcoming church. I discovered the other day that I remembered the other day that in my house, I was going in the door, and I noticed that standing on the mat, the welcome mat, and I had to go like this. I was going inside, and I had to go like this to read it, because it was said welcome. It was like all twisted around. And I wondered how long the mat was like that. And I wondered, when the person came to the door and they looked down and they went like this, I wonder how they felt, if they felt like they were really welcome in my house. And I wonder when they come to your front door, whether you have a mat or not, they look in, they wonder if they feel welcome. That this is a place where I want to be. I hope that's your heart, your home is like that, where people say, I want to go there. And when they go there and get there for a while, they say, I don't want to leave this place. I like it when people are in my house that way. Sometimes I want to get them out early. You know, it's getting like 10 or 11 o'clock at night or whatever it might be. Sometimes I think, oh, don't they know? It's like this was from 7 to 9. It's like 11 o'clock or whatever it is, you know. But it's a nice, I think it's a compliment. I think it's a good thing. If you have people who don't want to leave your presence because there's something magnetic about you, you accept them or whatever it is. I think it's simply being yourself in the gospel, knowing Jesus Christ and kind of relaxing in Him and being whoever He wants you to be in their presence. And that's going to make it a hospitable place. Well, we need to grow in this area of being a warm, welcoming individuals in our relationships one to another. And he says in 1 Peter 4:9, offer hospitality to one another and do it without grumbling. And thirdly, we need to get along with one another, not just love one another and to be hospitable or warmly welcoming, but we need to get along specifically with each other. 1 Peter 3:8, listen, it's another one another passage. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. 1 Corinthians 1:8 says, agree with one another. Or C.S. Lewis talks about it this way. We all pretty much know who he is by now. Famous late C.S. Lewis, who is an English writer. Profound practical apologist who defended the Christian faith. He said this about getting along. Quote, quarrels, C.S. Lewis, quarrels between Christians are a sin and a scandal, a stumbling stone to non-believers. Christians ought at all times to be making contributions towards reunion, even if it's only by their prayers. Romans 15:7 put getting along this way. It says, accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you. As Christ accepted you, then you have to accept the people in and around you. And I'm not saying you have to approve of everything they say or everything they do, or you wouldn't even make all the choices that another person would make. But we have to accept each other. We're called to. And he says in Romans 15:7, to bring praise to God. Accept one another as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Christ accepted you with all your flaws, everything that you have. Your condition for His acceptance is not your performance. You came as a sinner, undeserving, unworthy. And He accepted you just as I am, as the hymn says. And part of that acceptance means we don't judge. Romans 14:13, another one another passage. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Famous poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow said this. Listen to this great quote about judging. He says, believe me, every person has his secret painful sorrows, which the world knows nothing about. And many times we call a person cold, but in reality he's only sad. I think what Longfellow was saying was this. We look around and we see somebody and we say, now there's a cold person. And we say in the back of our mind, now there's a mean person. But the truth is that many times if we begin to actually, if we really understood where this person came from, that someone abused this person as a child, if we understood that this person was abandoned when he was younger, if we understood that he had a severe father, or we understood that here's a person who was neglected, or that there's something in his past that made him what we would call cold, we might realize that maybe he's sad. That maybe he's not quite overcome his past. We're called to get along with other believers, not to be so quick to judge people for why they aren't further along than they are. And I love this poem, which I've revised a little bit by a person by the name of C.R. Hembree. It's a powerful poem about being careful to judge others. It's called "I Dreamed of Heaven." Listen. He says, "I dreamed death came for me the other night, and heaven's door swung open wide. With kindness and grace, an angel ushered me inside. And there, to my amazement, stood some irritating people I'd known on earth. Some I'd already judged and labeled as unfit and unworthy of heaven's birth. Indignant words rose to my lips, but I bit my tongue, you see. For every face showed they were stunned with surprise, for no one expected to see me." Folks, let's not be too quick to categorize someone, to judge them, put them down. As far as I know, there's only one person who's worthy. In addition to getting along with one another, if we're going to advance the kingdom, we've got to serve one another. Galatians 5 says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge in sinful nature, but rather serve one another in love." USA Today did a survey in May of 98. Urban teens were surveyed to try to find out why teens weren't serving more in the community, like this Habitat project coming up on Easter Eve, where they go down and plant gardens for the people and these new homeowners who are having a difficult time to buy their own homes. But three major reasons reported by the teens why they weren't serving more in their communities. 25% of the teens said no time. 17% said apathy or indifference. 21% said peer pressure. Apparently, some of their peers must have thought it was uncool to be serving in some project. Now, Jesus said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." Let me tell you, young people, according to Jesus, it's cool to serve. It's cool to serve in the nursery. It's cool to help with the children's church. It's cool to do something in your community, to go to a nursing home or whatever the project might be. It's a cool thing in the kingdom of God. Whether you're young or whether you're old, it's cool. And it's how we advance the glory of the kingdom of Christ as we learn more and more to serve one another. John Calvin said this, "You want high honor in God's sight?" He says this, "The highest honor in the church is not to be in charge of something. The highest honor is to serve." One of the ways you can serve is in teaching. That's another one another passage. Not only serve one another, but he says in Colossians 3 and Romans 15:14, he says in Romans, "I am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another." Some of you say, "Well, how could I serve by teaching?" Some of you may teach formally in the Sunday school class or whatever, and that's a good thing. Keep doing it and cultivate that. Some of you may just do it leisurely on the side, however. But whatever it is God has shown you, we are to teach and get it out to others. You know, somebody might say, "Well, you know, everything I know, I could put in a thimble or in a Coke cap. Everything I know, I can put it right there in a little cap." Okay, so what? Don't give me the 2-liter bottle, just give me the cap. That's all. Give me what you have. Or give it to a 2-year-old. He might not have the bottle cap yet. And the neat thing, it's not like money. If you have money and you have $1,000, give it away, you got nothing, right? And the neat thing about teaching or whatever, you have 1,000 ideas, you give them away, you still have 1,000 ideas. You have 2 ideas, you give it away, you still have 2 ideas. 2 things you've learned. We talked about the other week, like being like a bloodhound. You're tracking down to get to know Christ. As you get to know it, right? You take what you learn, and it's like that chicken on the rotisserie. You let it cook, right? It's something wonderful. You realize you've got something good here. Now what are we going to do with it? We've got to get it out to people. Let people know, whether it's like a guide, we're going to guide them to it, we're going to direct them to it. It may not feel like a teacher, but it's getting someone from point A to point B by serving in this way, sharing what you know, that's all. Sharing who you are in Christ at whatever level you are, passing it on. Henrietta Mears, profound woman writer, she said, "Serving God with our little is a way to make it more, and we must never think that our little is wasted." And then we've got to, beyond serving, honor one another. Show honor one another. I just say simply in passing, Romans 12:10, honor one another above yourselves. That's the idea there is preferring one another. It's giving, letting other people go past you. Putting them first. You get it out on a highway, okay? You go in some states, you know what the people actually do? They straddle the line. You get in the beltway. Have you ever seen it in certain states? Everybody does it. I can't remember. I was in 1 or 2 states. Rather than letting somebody get by you, everyone's afraid of losing their place. So they ride right in the middle of 2 lanes because they don't want anyone going on the right and no one going on the left. They want their place. It's the exact opposite of honoring people. The honoring in Romans there means preferring one another. Move over as far as you can. Come on by. I don't care if you get ahead of me. That's where I want you to be, above me. Preferring one another. St. Augustine put it this way. He said, "Pride is what turned angels into demons. And the opposite is true. Humility is what can turn humans into angels." Well, that's a nice way of speaking. You want to be a little angelic? You take a low position. You let everybody else get the glory and get first place or whatever it needs to be. Promote them above yourself. It's a wonderful thing how we prefer and honor one another. And lastly, but besides honoring, preferring one another, we're called to encourage one another. If we're going to advance the kingdom, we've got to encourage each other. Folks, I tell you, sometimes just a little comment can make the world a difference in advancing God's kingdom. Hebrews 3:13 says, "Encourage one another daily." Encourage one another. The people around you, encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today. Why? So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. I think it was Will Rogers who said, I can go 6 weeks after someone gives me a compliment, just thriving on some good thing that someone passed on to me. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "Encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." Folks, encouragement is oxygen to the soul. We need to breathe it in. You need me and I need you, and we need one another to pass on encouragement that we may continue on in Christ. Finally, I'll close with this last scripture where he says this about growing in relationships, growing in encouragement. He said, Hebrews 10:24, "Let us consider," hear God speaking, "let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Folks, the day's coming. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back someday. One day it's going to be all over. And we're going to enjoy and enter into that final advance. We're going to advance as individuals and as a whole church, advance into everything we've been preaching and longing for. In the meantime, as the day gets closer and closer, we've got to keep spurring one another on to love and good deeds, reminding each other We have Jesus. We need Jesus. And we're going to get there someday. Just don't give up. Well, in summary, Kingdom of Christ, how's it going to grow? What can we do? Well, the same old, like I said. There's nothing new. Just grow in your love for one another. Learn to more and more warmly welcome each other. Learn to more and more serve each other. Get better at getting along. Get better at preferring and honoring one another. And certainly, keep on encouraging one another, as in fact you're doing, until that final day. Let us pray. Lord, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to us who believe, one encouraging one another until we make that final advance into your eternal kingdom. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen.